Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:47 British Summer Time. Today is April 14th. Well, this has been a rather impressive day right across markets. Starting off in Asia, you had Singapore doing the equivalent of raising interest rates by revaluing the currency stronger. You had Korea's debt rating was upgraded, so those were two good positive pieces of macro action that happened in Asia this morning, and both of those markets are pushing on to the upside. Korea, in particular, has been consolidating for a number of months, and particularly around the most recent highs for the last couple of weeks, and broke upwards today. So that's a good positive action. And although the Korean banks are lagging somewhat today, they posted an upward dynamic and are in danger of playing catch up here. So it really is good positive action right across the Asian region. I don't think you can divorce the action that we're seeing in some of these better performing markets in Asia and Latin America from the performance of their currencies. And there is an extraordinary commonality right across the Asian region in the commodity, or sorry, in the currencies, with just about all of the reasonably large cap markets having currencies that are appreciating. The two, of course, that are exceptions, big exceptions, are China, which continues to hold its peg, but there's increasing speculation that that is going to change at some point this year. And of course, Japan. And the yen continues to look a bit weaker in here, particularly against currencies such as the Australian dollar, but broadly based, it is getting weaker, and also against the euro in here today. So we've cited Japan as, or the weak yen as being a catalyst for investor interest in Japan, and that remains the case. And it does look increasingly likely that the yen will get weaker from over the medium term. In Europe today, the majority of markets finished in positive territory, and the Italian index was up the most, just over 1%. And as we approach the close on Wall Street, then the S&P is up over 1%, the Nasdaq is up 1.5%, the Dow is up 0.9%, and that's been helped along by impressive earnings by Intel and JP Morgan. And the technology sector in particular is leading the charge here, and Apple it continues to push on to new high ground as its newest piece of technology is gaining widespread acceptance here. Just looking at the WI page on Bloomberg, it's really quite noteworthy that Wall Street, with the Dow Jones, is up just over 6.5% this year, or year to date. The S&P is up 8.48%. The Nasdaq Composite's up 10%. And you contrast that in the common currency U.S. dollars to the other indices that are on that page. And the Eurostoxx 50 is down 3.5%. The IBEX is down 8%. The FTSE is just up 2%. The OMX in Sweden is up 10.5%. The Nikkei is up 5%, and the ASX is up just under 6.5%. So Wall Street is not only doing well, but as large cap markets go, it's actually one of the leading markets this year among the sort of the really large cap markets, and that in itself is noteworthy. Now, the S&P is currently in the region of 1200, and it pushed on by over 1% today, and this is really quite impressive action. But it's been up for, it's either 8 of the 9, sorry, 8 of the last 9 weeks or 9 of the last 10 weeks, which really is a remarkable performance. And we see that a number of these indices, not just Wall Street, are becoming a little bit overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages. And of course, the more overextended they become, the greater the likelihood is that we'll have a reversionary move back towards the mean. But I think that remains the worst-case scenario. And everything that we're seeing at the moment with increasing numbers of markets breaking upwards to new recovery highs, with some of the underperforming sectors beginning to garner investor interest as catch-up plays. And we're seeing that monetary conditions remain accommodative for at least a while longer, that other reports today that retail sales are improving, that inflation remains contained, and that economic growth is returning to some of the bigger economies, particularly the USA. This is all good positive action when we contrast it against record low interest rates in a large number of countries and an excessive liquidity that has yet to be contained. So this remains a sweet spot for the stock markets and indeed commodity markets, because we continue to see that industrial commodities in particular have been pushing on to new high ground. Nickel was up almost $900 today. Aluminium, tin, and copper are also pushing on to new highs, or new recovery highs, I should say. And palladium is now beginning to accelerate. It closed $5 off its high, but up almost $26 on the day, and really becoming increasingly overextended. But it does have a little bit more underneath it now than when it did, when it peaked a couple of months ago. So there probably does, it looks like it has further room to go on the upside, and we certainly haven't had any downward dynamic to check this advance in either the short or medium term. Platinum was up $15.50 today at 1732, and also closed within proximity of its highs. And gold's performance, having been really quite firm earlier on today, up at $1,162, it gave up most of it as we came into the close, but still closed in positive territory, up 4.25 on the day. And silver was up 17 cents and closed within proximity of the highs. So gold is lagging a little bit in here, but provided we continue to see that platinum in particular, but the other precious metals are continuing to push on to new high ground, I think we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside for gold. And there is every chance that it will successfully break away from this $1,150 level and go back and test its high up around the $1,200 level, and indeed go on to make new highs in the next few weeks, or possibly a couple of months. So the precious metals sector in particular really is a hotbed at the moment, because it really, particularly platinum or palladium, is exploding on the upside at this point. Today also saw the oil market up by almost $2, $1.88, and this was an upward dynamic, and it does suggest that oil is going to follow the trajectory of the other industrial commodities and indeed stock markets. And while the pattern for oil over the last few months has been its inability to sustain upward breaks, but to maintain the progression of higher reaction lows, that could be changing in here, because it found support in the region of the previous high, and today's upward dynamic would really need to be countermanded in short order to question the potential for oil now to push on to new high ground, sorry, to new recovery highs. That is a warning light for for stock markets generally, because while oil is not a problem in here right now, if it goes on to become as overextended relative to its moving average as some of those stock markets, then it will be pulling in on the $100 level, which would begin to raise the alarm bells, particularly on the inflation front. And with an increasing number of the better performing economies raising interest rates, that is increasing the, well, they are the place where inflationary pressures are being felt most and have become most apparent fastest. But the commodity price inflation will not just be seen in those economies and will begin to filter into the measures that are used in some of the slower to recover economies. Now, you're not going to have wage pressures affecting inflationary measures, and you're not going to have house prices either in the US and most of Europe. But if commodity prices are pushing upwards, that could put us into a that could put nascent recoveries in under some pressure and could point towards a more stagflationary type environment. So the oil price really is worth monitoring, if even if one isn't trading it, because if it can sustain this move above the previous high, which was in the region of $83, and push significantly upwards, that will be a yellow warning light, at least for some of these stock markets. Certainly not panic stations, but also something to bear in mind, particularly as an increasing number of these markets become overextended relative to their moving averages. The government bond markets were all a little bit softer in here today, but by and large, we continue to see that the UK gilts and US treasuries are have been relatively stagnant over the last couple of weeks, but we've identified previously that a sustained move above the 4% level on either one of those would be a yellow warning light, and above 5% would be a red warning light for some of these stock markets. But in the meantime, we are presented with powerfully trending markets that remain consistent, the where we have well-defined progressions of higher reaction lows, and in a large number of cases, step sequence uptrends. And against that background, the only bearish comment that we can make is that they're becoming a little bit overextended relative to their moving averages. But that's certainly not panic stations. That's really what we expect to see in a bull market, that they become temporarily overextended, revert to their mean, build support, and off they go again. So we remain very much in a sweet spot. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.